No. The sutras of Tilopa. The practice of mantra and paramita, instruction in the sutras and precepts, and teaching from the schools and scriptures will not bring realization of the innate truth. For if the mind, when filled with some desire, should seek a goal, it only hides the light. He who keeps tantric precepts, yet discriminates, betrays the spirit of samaya, cease all activity, abandon all desire, let thoughts rise and fall as they will, like ocean waves. He who never harms the non-abiding, nor the principle of non-distinction, upholds the tantric precepts. He who abandons craving and clings not to this and that, perceives the real meaning given in the scriptures. The practice of mantra will not be of any help, rather it can become a hindrance. What is a mantra in fact? What are you doing when you are chanting a mantra? What Maharishi Mahesh Yogi is teaching people when he is teaching transcendental meditation? He is saying, repeat a certain word or a certain mantra continuously inside. Ram, Ram, Ram. Om, Om, Om. Anything. Even your own name will do. Even if you repeat H2O, 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 that will do. Because the question is not of the sound or the words. The question is, if you repeat continuously something, by the very repetition something happens. What is that? When you repeat a certain word continuously, a rhythm is created inside. Ram, Ram, Ram. A rhythm is created. And the rhythm is monotonous. Whenever you repeat a certain word continuously, a monotony happens. Monotonous, repeating a certain word continuously, you start feeling sleepy. This is what hypnosis is. This is auto-hypnosis. Repeating a mantra is auto-hypnotizing. You become drunk by your own monotonous sound rhythm. It is good. Nothing is bad in it. It gives you a good sleep. Very refreshing. If you are tired, it is a good mental trick. You will feel fresh. Even fresher than you can feel in ordinary sleep. Because the ordinary sleep cannot go so deep as a mantra sleep can go. Because in ordinary sleep, many thoughts continue. Dreams continue. They continuously disturb. But if you repeat a certain mantra continuously, nothing else can be there, only the mantra. It takes you to very, very deep sleep. In yoga, we have a special word for it. In Sanskrit, sleep is called nidra. And the sleep created by mantra chanting is called tandra. That is a deeper sleep, but still sleep. It is called yoga tandra. Sleep created by yoga mantra chanting. If you are disturbed in your sleep, TM can be helpful. That's why in America it seems Maharishi's influence has been great, because America is the most disturbed country as far as sleep is concerned. So many tranquilizers are being used. So many sleep pills are being used. people have lost the natural capacity to sleep. Hence the influence. In India, nobody bothers about tea because people are already sleeping so deep that it is difficult to wake them. Mantra gives you a subtle sleep. As far as it goes, it is good. But don't think that it is meditation. Then you become a victim. Don't think that it is a meditation. It is just a mental tranquilizer. And it is as chemical as any sleep pill. Because sound changes your chemistry of the body. Sound is part of the chemistry of your body. That's why in a certain type of music you feel very, very refreshed. The music falls on you, cleanses you as if you have taken a bath. Sound changes your chemistry of the body. There are certain types of music which will make you very passionate in sexual. Just their hitting sounds change your chemistry of the body. Mantra is creating an inner music with a single note. Monotonousness is basic to it. And there is no need to ask Maharishi Mahesh Yogi about it. Every mother in the world knows about it. Whenever the child is restless, she hums a lullaby. Lullaby is a mantra. And just 2-3 words, even meaningless, no need to be there of any meaning. She sits by the side of the child, or takes the child near her heart, that too, the beating of the heart, is a monotonous music. So whenever a child is restless, the mother puts his head on the heart, the beat of the heart becomes a mantra, and the child is befooled. He falls asleep. Or, if the child has grown a little and cannot be befooled so easily, then she chants a lullaby. Just 2-3 words, monotonous, simple words, she goes on repeating. Monotonousness helps. The child falls into his sleep. Nothing bad in it. A better tranquilizer than any chemical pill, but still a tranquilizer, a pill, subtle, a sound pill. But it affects the chemistry of the body. So if you are disturbed in your sleep, if you have a certain degree of insomnia, it is good, but don't think that it is meditation. It will make you more and more adjusted, but it will not transform you. And the whole society is always trying to make you more adjusted to it. It has tried religion to make you adjusted to it. It has tried morality. It has tried mantras, yogas. It has tried psychoanalysis and many types of psychiatry to bring you back to the adjusted society. The whole goal of the society is how to create an adjusted individual. But if the whole society is wrong, being adjusted to it cannot be good. If the whole society is mad, being adjusted to it means only becoming mad. Somebody asked Sigmund Freud once that in fact what exactly you are doing in psychoanalysis. And what is the goal of it? he said, and he was a rarely authentic person. He said, at the most what we can do is this, that we make hysterical, unhappy people normally unhappy. That's all. Hysterically unhappy people normally unhappy. We bring them back to the normal unhappiness, like everybody else. They were going a little too much. They were creating too much unhappiness and they're becoming neurotic. We bring them back to the normal neurosis of humanity. Freud says, man can never be happy. Man can only be either neurotically unhappy or normally unhappy. But man can never be happy. As far as ordinary humanity is concerned, his diagnosis seems to be exactly right. But he is not aware of a Buddha or Tilopa. He is not aware of those who have achieved a total blissful state of being. And it is as it should be, because a Buddha will not go to be treated to by a Freud. For what? Only hysterical persons come to Freud, and then he treats them. And his whole knowledge, his whole experience is of hysterically neurotic people. He has not known a single individual in his whole 40 years experience with patients who is happy. So he is right, empirical. His experience shows that there are only two types of people, normally unhappy and hysterically unhappy. And at the most we can help this much, we can make you more adjusted. Mantra, psychoanalysis, religion, morality, churches, prayers, they have all been used to make you adjusted. And the real religion starts only when you start on a journey of transformation. Not to be adjusted with the society, but to be in harmonious with the cosmos. To be adjusted with the society, you have to fall down. It happens many times that a madman has nothing wrong in it. The madman is simply too much of an energy and he cannot adjust himself with the society. He goes astray. A madman is too much of an individual. A madman is too much talented in certain things that he cannot get adjusted with the society. And you must remember, all geniuses always remain maladjusted with the society. And out of 100 geniuses, almost 80% always have a trip to the madhouse. They have to. Because he goes beyond society. He has much more than ordinary society allows. The ordinary society is like a paperweight on you. It won't allow you to fly. And a genius throws the paperweight and would like to be on the wing and to go to the farthest corner of the sky. The moment you go beyond the line of the society, the boundary, you are mad, and the whole society tries you to readjust. Tantra says adjustment is not the goal. It is not worth. Transformation is the goal. What to do? Don't try tricks to be readjusted. Mantra is a trick. If you are feeling that you cannot sleep, then don't try through mantra to find sleep. Rather, on the contrary, try to find what is the restlessness that is causing you sleeplessness. You may be desiring too much. You may be too much ambitious. Your ambition won't allow you to sleep. Your restlessness continues. Your desiring mind goes on and on and on. And thinking process continues. That's why you cannot sleep. Now there are two ways. One is of mantra and another is of tantra. Mantra says, don't bother about the causes. You simply repeat a mantra and fall asleep. This is so superficial. Don't bother about the causes. Just repeat a mantra 15 minutes in the morning and 15 in the evening. And you will be able to sleep and you will feel good and you will feel healthy. But even if you feel good and healthy, what will happen out of it? There are many healthy people who sleep beautifully, but nothing has happened to them. The ultimate blooming has not come. Health is good in itself, but cannot be the goal. To sleep is good, but cannot be the goal. Tantra says, find out the causes why you are restless. A minister in the Indian government used to come to me, and he will always worried about his sleep, and he will say that, just give me some technique so that I can sleep. But I told him, a politician cannot sleep. That is not possible. A politician is not meant to sleep. He is not expected to sleep. And that is good. And I am not going to give you any technique. You go to Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. He will give you a technique without asking why. And in fact he went. And then he came after 3 months, he said, you suggested and it worked. Now it is beautiful. Now I can sleep. Then I told him that whenever you need and you feel that sleep is not enough, awakening is needed, then come to me. Because you can sleep, but what will happen out of it? You will remain the same. In the morning you will be again on the same ambitious trip. You are thinking something good has happened, but only one thing has happened. Now you will not be aware of the causes. They have been forced by the mantra into the deeper unconscious. And the possibility of transformation has been postponed. I cannot give you better sleep. I would like to give you better awakening, better awareness. A politician is continuously desiring, fighting, competing, jealous, trying to reach higher and higher in the hierarchy. In the end, nothing is achieved. Mullah Nasruddin worked his whole life into politics and went to the highest post possible. Then I asked him, what have you attained? He said, to be frank, I am the greatest ladder climber in the world. That is my achievement. Greatest ladder climber. But even if you reach to the highest rung of the ladder, what then? Your presidents and prime ministers have reached. They are the greatest ladder climbers. But ladder climbing is not life. And just going on and on climbing bigger and bigger ladders, what is the point of it? Ambition creates restlessness. I would like you to understand your ambition. Desiring creates restlessness. I would like you to be aware of your desiring. This is the way of Tantra. And when the cause disappears, the disease disappears. And if the cause disappears, then you are transformed. The disease is just a symptom. Don't try to hide the symptom. Let it be there. It is good because it goes on poking, goes on hitting you and saying that something is wrong. If you cannot sleep, it is good because it shows that something is wrong in your very style of life. I'm not going to help you to attain better sleep. I will say, try to understand, this is a symptom, this symptom is a friend. It is not an enemy. It is simply showing that deep down in your unconscious, there are undercurrents which won't allow you to sleep. Understand them, absorb them, go through them, transcend them, and then there will be a deep sleep, not because you have forced the symptom underground, but because the disease has disappeared. And in that sleep, a total different quality of consciousness comes into existence. Then you could be deep asleep and still alert. It is not hypnosis then. It is not like a drunk state. It is not through a drug, and all mantras are drugs. Very subtle, but still drugs. Don't become a drug addict. Says Talopa, the practice of mantra and paramita, instruction in sutras and precepts, and teaching from the schools and scriptures will not bring realization of the innate truth. Paramita is a Buddhist word. It means compassion, serving the people. Whatsoever the Christian missionaries are doing all over the world is paramita. Serve. Help. Sympathize, be compassionate, but Talopa says that will also not help. I have also observed, I know many people who are social reformers, great servants of society. Their whole life they have devoted and sacrificed for the uplift of people. But no transformation has happened to them. It cannot happen. Because serving the people, serving the society becomes an occupation. They become occupied. In fact, if the society is suddenly transformed by a divine miracle, and there is no beggar to be served, no poor man to be served, no ill person, no hospitals, nomad people, suddenly, if this happens, can you conceive what will happen to your great servants of the society? They will commit suicide. Not finding anybody to serve, what they will do? They will simply be at a loss. What will happen to Christian missionaries if there is nobody to be converted and forced and led and seduced to their path, converted? If everybody becomes Christian, what they will do? Where they will go on their great missions? They will have to commit suicide. If the revolution really happens, what will be the fate of your revolutionaries? What they will do? suddenly out of job, unemployed, they will start praying to God that bring back the old society. We need lepers to serve. We need beggars to help. You can be occupied either in your own business, or you can be occupied with other people. But the mind needs occupation. The mind needs that you should forget yourself and be occupied with something. This is an escape from the innate truth. And Tilopa says, these are not the ways. Tantra has a very, very beautiful thing to say to you. And that is, first, before you start serving anybody else, be absolutely selfish. How can you serve anybody else unless you have attained your inner being first? Be absolutely selfish. If your own inner light is burning, you may be able to help others. Otherwise, your service will be a mischief. And the world is so much in mischief because of so many revolutionaries, so many social reformers, so many self-appointed servants. They create mischief. They create chaos. It is natural, because they have not attained to their own truth and they have started helping others. If you have a light within, you may share your light with somebody else. But if you don't have it, how can you share it? How can you share that which you don't have? A man came to Buddha. He must have been a very, very great revolutionary, like Marcus or others. And he asked Buddha that, tell me how I can serve others. I have a deep compassion in me and I would like to make everybody happy. Buddha looked at him. It is said he became sad. Buddha became sad looking at him. The man said, why you have become so sad? Buddha said, it is difficult. Because you yourself don't seem to be happy. And you are on a mission to make everybody happy. How can you share that which you don't have? First you be. And once you are, then it is not a mission. Once you are blissful, that you don't go out of the way to help others. Your very being is a help, wherever you are. You don't make it a profession. The way you are, wherever you are, if you sit near a tree, you help the tree. Not consciously, not with any effort on your part, just being near the tree, and the tree responds. And your inner being flows into the tree, and the tree flows into you, and you have awakened a tree. Someday this tree will become a Buddha, and you will be a part in it. You participated in it. And when this tree will become a Buddha, and the whole universe will celebrate, you will also celebrate a part of you. You have given to the tree. You have saved. You sit by a river and you share. You move. Your very movement becomes your compassion. It is nothing to be done. If you do, something is wrong. How can you do love? It is not an act. It is a state of being. You are in love. You have the light. And your doors are open. And whosoever wants to come into the inner shrine of your being is invited. and whosoever wants to light his own light from your source of light, you are ready. You never go and seek somebody to help. When you go, one thing is certain, you are not the right person. When you start doing something, one thing is certain, you are creating a mischief. You will simply poke your nose into others' affairs. Let them be themselves. It is enough confession on your side that you don't disturb them. Don't try to change them. You don't know what you are doing. Only one who is enlightened can help. The help flows spontaneously. It is just like a flower has bloomed and the winds take the fragrance and they spread it all over the earth. It is very subtle and indirect. It never hits anybody directly. A real master never tries to change anybody directly. He is like a subtle fragrance. He surrounds you. If you are open, a little whip will enter in you. If you are not open, he will wait on the door. He will not even knock, because that may also disturb your sleep. It is your sleep. You have all the right to sleep as long as you want. It is nobody's business to awaken you. I may have become awakened. I may like you to be awakened, but that is my thing, not your thing. If you are fast asleep and dreaming beautiful dreams, who I am to disturb you? I will wait. I will surround you like a fragrance. And if that fragrance catches you, and if that fragrance brings you out of your sleep, it's okay. But it is not a direct effort. It is very, very indirect. And always remember, only those people who are absolutely indirect can be of any help. Direct help is from the politician. Indirect help is from the sage. The instruction in the sutras and precepts and teaching from the schools and scriptures will not bring the realization of the innate truth. Why? Because it is already there. It has not to be brought in. You are seeking something which you have already there inside you, in its total beauty and perfection. Nothing has to be done. Doing is absolutely irrelevant. You have just to come back home. The guest is already there, but the host is out. You are not inside. Through your desires, you are moving outer and outer and outer. You would like to have a big house and a big car and this and that, and you are moving out and out. You have no time to come back home. Meditation is nothing but coming back home, just to have a little rest inside. It is not a chanting of a mantra. It is not even a prayer. It is just coming back home and having a little rest. Not going anywhere is meditation. Just being where you are. There is no other where. Just being there where you are. Just occupying only that space where you are. Desire takes you on long journeys. in time and space. And desire never brings you to your home. It always takes you somewhere else. For if the mind, when filled with some desire, should seek a goal, it only hides the light. That's how you are missing. By going out, you are missing. By seeking, you are missing. By searching, you are missing. By trying to get it, you are missing. Nothing is needed on your part. The Divine has given all that can be given to you. You are not sent as a beggar into the world. You are sent as emperors. Just have a look inside. Just in some moments, don't go anywhere. Desireless. Not thinking of the future. Not thinking of the past. Just remaining here and now. And suddenly it is there. It has been always there. And you start laughing. When Linchi was asked that when he attained enlightenment, what he did, what first thing he did, he said, what one can do? I laughed and asked for a cup of tea. I laughed. What I was doing, seeking something which was already there. All the Buddhas have laughed. And all the Buddhas have asked for a cup of tea. Because what else to do? It is already there. You were unnecessarily running here and there. Tired. You have come back home. A cup of tea is exactly the right thing. For if the mind, when filled with some desire, should seek a goal, it only hides the light. Your seeking creates a smoke around the flame. You go on running around and around. You stir much dust. And you create much smoke. And it is your own effort that stirs the dust and creates the smoke. And the flame becomes hidden. Rest a little, let the dust settle back to the earth. And if you are not running very fast, not in a hurry, you will not create a smoke. By and by, things settle and the inner light is revealed. This is the most fundamental thing in Tantra, that it says that you are already perfect. No other vision says that. They say you have to achieve it. They say you have to go. You have to struggle. And you have to do many things, and the path is arduous. And it is very, very rarely that somebody reaches, because the goal is very, very distant. And for millions of life, one has to try, and then one reaches. Perfection has to be achieved. Tantra says, this is the reason why you are not achieving. Perfection has not to be achieved. It has to be simply realized that it is there. Tantra offers you enlightenment right here and now. No time. No postponement. Tantra says, if you rest, just resting will help. Because by your restlessness you are creating the smoke all around. and you are in such a hurry you cannot listen. If somebody says rest, you will say there is no time to rest. I have to achieve a goal, and the goal is very far. And if I rest, I will miss. Tantra says you are missing because you are running. Tantra says you are missing because you are in such a hurry. He who keeps tantric precepts yet discriminates betrays the spirit of samay, sees all activity, abandon all desire, let thoughts rise and fall as they will, like ocean waves. He who never harms the non-abiding, nor the principle of non-distinction, upholds the tantric precepts. Very, very simple. But you are too complex. You are too puzzled inside. Otherwise, everything is very, very easy. Cease all activity, abandon all desire, let thoughts rise and fall as they will, like ocean waves. What one does, if you go to the ocean, you simply sit on the bank. You sit on the shore, in the beach, and you watch the waves rise and fall. And there is a tide, and there is an ebb. The ocean passes through many moods. What you do? You simply sit and watch. Exactly is the case with the mind. It is also like an ocean. Waves arise and fall. Sometimes there is a tide and much turmoil, and sometimes it is an ebb, and you feel a little silent. And in fact, it is the case. The whole consciousness is like an ocean.